Hello, innovators. I'm Todd Wyant, and welcome to the Bridging the Gap podcast presented by Applied Software Great Tech Group. You're invited to join our conversation to model the future of construction innovation and the digital transformation adventure of this great industry. We recorded this conversation live from the Advancing Prefabrication Show in Denver, Colorado. In this conversation, I sat down with Dave Cooper of Dave Cooper Live to discuss the latest in prefab trends and much more. Hope you enjoy the conversation. All right, we are here at Advancing Prefab in Denver and get to sit with the great Dave Cooper, live with Dave Cooper. So thanks for taking the time.
Well, thanks for having me. I don't know about the great Dave Cooper, but that's a first. But no, this is awesome. I'm so happy to be on this. And I see you here every year, you know, on Bridging the Gap. And I think what you're doing is amazing.
Yeah, thanks. Well, likewise. So we're at Advancing Prefab. What do you think the power of a event like this is for the industry?
Yeah, you know what? It's collaboration. The one thing I've learned in all of the travel that we do is when you get industry leaders together and they start talking, magic happens. Mm-hmm. Business happens. Growth happens. Right? Or you find out you're doing it all the wrong way because somebody else had a better widget. Mm-hmm. So I think the best thing we get out of these types of events, especially Advancing Prefab, is the education sessions and the quality and the level of the people that are actually at this event. Mm-hmm.
How do you encourage people to mix it up and come in with maybe a humility to learn from other people and build out their network?
I mean, humility is kind of a learned thing throughout life, right? Mm-hmm. And I think you got to come here with an open mind and a willingness to not only learn, but to share. Mm. So often we think we have the best widget and people don't want to share their best widget, right? Mm. Or it's our IP or their secret. Come to find out, I'll travel halfway around the world and be like, oh, so that they don't have the best widget, right? So it's one of those things. And I think this industry, especially industrialized construction, has so far to go and grow that there's so much room as long as we keep collaborating and sharing knowledge.
Yeah. How have you seen the evolution happening in the prefab space over the last couple of years?
You know, the attention of the prefab space has become more and more, not only within our industry, but outside of our industry. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of outside players, you know, global hedge funds, the Bill Gates of the world, you know, with Vantum and others that are really starting to come into this space. And when you start seeing, like, you know, Goldman Sachs even just made a big investment in Vietnam last year, right, with TLC Modular. And I think when you start seeing that happening, it brings attention to all the other cool companies that maybe aren't the global hedge funds and the global players, but the technology. Mm-hmm. And it's helping us look at things a little bit differently in the industry. So overall, it's growing. The attention's growing. And hey, listen, we don't have the labor and the workforce we used to have. We don't have the housing and the buildings that we used to have. We can see it all over our streets, right? There's homeless people everywhere. So I think, you know, coming here, talking, sharing ideas, it's only going to keep helping us grow and people start paying attention.
Yeah. So you brought up the technology aspect of it. How has technology been kind of a force to help push the prefab movement forward?
It helps us do more with less. For instance, robots. You know, nobody's looking to replace jobs, right? Nobody's looking to, you know, put people out of a job. The problem is we can't get people to come work in our factories to go walk steel, you know, in 30 degree weather, you know, when it's always sunny and 70 in a factory. You'd think they would come in. But it's too easy to make money playing video games these days. I mean, if you really think about it, it's easier to do, you know, other things. So technology is helping incorporate, you know, with BIM, you know, digital twins, all the different things we're seeing with the robots. It's helping the youth get attracted to us again, and we're really starting to become cool. Mm-hmm. And cool is a factor, right, when you're young.
For sure.
And where you work and who you work with. And if you can go home and say, man, I just did this whole awesome thing with robots, that's cool. Or we just built this whole digital building, you want to come walk through it, that's cool.
Yeah, I agree. I think that construction has a marketing problem in trying to reach the next generation. How do we go about fixing that?
Well, I think we're starting to do that. You know, it's funny. My 16-year-old daughter, I have twin daughters. They just turned 16. And Eve said to me, she goes, Dad, I think I want to go to welding school. Right? Because we were showing her the robots. Last year, the welding robot was here and this and that. And so she's kind of been looking at it. And that was kind of a sign to me. You know, I think when you start bringing this technology, when you start bringing the things they have been using in the gaming world their entire lives, really.
Yeah.
now they're starting to see how that could apply to their life in a real world after high school, after college, you know, trade school, whatever it's going
to
be.
Mm-hmm. So what kind of mindset shift is needed for people already in the industry to embrace the new way of, right, of bringing in technology?
I think the hardest thing for people to understand is you can actually crawl, you know, walk and then run in this. Too many people get in over their head thinking they need to have, you know, $100 million robotic build outs in their manufacturing facility when it's not the case, because you can simply start by just cleaning up your lean processes, you know, bringing in maybe different software, you know, to help you streamline your processes. But I think for us and seeing this industry adapt it more, I think people really have to understand that where is the crawl, where is the walk, where is the run? Mm-hmm. Too many companies are looking at the run. Mm-hmm. And then you end up with, you know, bad things at the end of that most times.
Yeah. What do you think is the low-hanging fruit to do that crawl?
I think the low-hanging fruit in my personal opinion, the lowest hanging fruit you can have in any company is going to be culture. Mm-hmm. And all the travel around the world, the companies that have the best culture have the best productivity, have the best profit margins, you know. And why is that? Because people don't want to leave. Mm-hmm. They're loving going to work, right? And I think if a company can work on the culture first, then they're going to get the buy-in to get into the software and the vision. But if the team's not bought into where they are going, mm-hmm, and they're afraid that technology is going to take over, you're never going to get there. So to me, I think the low-hanging fruit is embedding the ideas of this is how we're going to do it and why we're going to do it and make them part of the decision processes. And that's what I've seen a lot of the best companies out there that are making the changes they're doing. They got to get the buy-in first, especially if you're a big company.
So if you don't have that culture already in place, but you want it, how do you start kind of bridging that gap?
Yeah, you know, so on the lowest level, I think it's just senior leadership having conversations with, you know, with the team. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's all the way down to the person that's cleaning up at the end of the day and vice versa. I think it's having a shared vision in the company to where everybody understands what the goal is, you know, profitability-wise, their bonus-wise, or however the company's set up for their team. That's really, I think, the simplest step one can make. Mm-hmm. Openness and conversation. No more of the, you know, you got a factory and offices for senior management's upstairs, you know, everybody else is downstairs. What we're seeing now is they're all together and it's open, you know, boardrooms. Like, what are you hiding, right? For the most part.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we're starting to see in a lot of these newer manufacturers coming out too that are getting the young people in.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. The transparency angle of that is needed.
That's the big
what builds
thing.
Trust.
Listen, you can Google anything, right? AI is going to tell you what's messed up, you know, at least, you know, in its own terms.
Yeah.
But transparency is a big, big thing, because as soon as you're not transparent, people know it.
Yeah, for sure. So we're seeing this convergence between manufacturing and construction, and those lines kind of blurring together. How have you noticed that trend as you go around the world?
You know, it's kind of funny. It comes back to the buy-in, right? Mm-hmm. How do you get the traditional site contractor trade, the site unions, right, to understand that we're not going to take jobs from you from doing industrialized or off-site manufacturing? Mm-hmm. What we're going to allow you to do is more work. Mm-hmm. You know, with less overhead, less risk. I think the benefits need to be explained better. And this is kind of what you were saying. Like, we have to be better as an industry marketing our story. Mm-hmm. We're not trying to take jobs away by moving things into an offsite facility, which, by the way, every industry in this world does, mm-hmm, except for construction. And I think, you know, and if you look at it in the sense of how do we educate them that this is a tool in your tool belt, this is going to help you be more productive. It's going to keep your workers safe. Right? It's going to reduce your liability. Let's talk about the money savings they start seeing out of this. Mm-hmm. It's going to reduce your risk. You know, it becomes a win-win when they understand the value.
Yeah. So you mentioned that every other industry is doing a version of this. Construction's the laggard. What are some of the kind of systemic things that you think have been put in place to create some of that delay for construction? And Do you see some of that changing?
You know, I don't really know where the systemic side of it, you know, comes from. I think that we're just not marketing. If you look at every other industry, it markets. I'll give you an idea. Think the pharmaceutical industry, mm-hmm, right? The pharmaceutical industry is a pharmaceutical rep used to go out and you say, hey, doc, you know, I'm going to take you down to Hawaii, your whole family, right? And then they put the kibosh on that. Right, mm-hmm, which stopped the pharmaceutical companies from pushing and peddling their, you know, their medications to those doctors. But what did the pharmaceutical industry do? They pivoted to the consumer with their advertising. They said, hey, why aren't you asking for my product? This is a better product. My blue pill is better than your blue pill, mm-hmm. right? That type of thing. And I think our industry lacks that kind of, you know, transitional point to where if we could get the general populace, the people that use our buildings, that want a healthier, cleaner environment to work, want a healthier, cleaner home to live in, to understand the benefits of how industrialized and offsite construction can give them that, mm-hmm. they're going to start asking for it. And then when you know when you have that consumer demand, people are going to start pivoting to meet that demand.
Yeah. So that would imply construction has to come together and do this as a united front. Right. Who takes point in that?
All right. So now you got a soapbox. One of the things we have to look at in this industry, because it's fragmented, how does the modular world come together with the panel world? Because mm-hmm. a modular manufacturing facility is a panelized manufacturing facility. But we have all these different associations that right. are out there, and for good reason. They're lobbying for, you know, their different kits of parts, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the biggest hurdle we have right now. You know, when you look at what's happening in Washington, D.C., with the ICC and the codes, and mm-hmm. we got NAHB, we have Advancing Prefab, you got, you know, MBI, you got all these different, you know, people out there to come together. But I will say it's starting to happen. I just came back from IBS, mm-hmm. and it was fun. I was sitting in the Building Systems Council Lounge listening to the board members talk. I also saw the SBCA in there. I also saw MBI in there. So the associations are starting to come together because a unified voice is going to get us all further faster.
The industry is struggling with a communication problem and a lack of interoperability. This is causing 25% of data being recreated and almost $300 billion loss due to bad communication. Great Tech Group believes that is a problem. So they created Data Connect, an easy-to-use, no-code platform that connects critical ERP systems with cost management to form a single source of truth to empower better communication, decision-making, and project efficiency, delivering the ultimate business outcome of being on time and on budget. Visit ASTI.com/DataConnect to start saving time and money.
Yeah. Where do you think we're going to be in the next decade? What conversations do you think construction is going to be having?
I think in the next decade, we're going to see a large growth in offsite construction. I think we're going to not only see it in offsite construction, we're going to see it like in here with the MEP manufacturers who are also mm-hmm. now doing offsite and have for a long time. I think we're just going to have more awareness around what is a better way to build, what is a more affordable way to build. And I also believe, just like, you know, flat screen TVs, when they came out, they were like $30,000. Mm-hmm. Now you can get like a 70 inch for $600 or something like that.
Yeah.
I think it's the same thing in construction. If we can scale industrialized construction like the auto manufacturers have, that's where you're going to start to see the economy of scales, and you're really going to start to see change in the economy, you know, more places to work, more places to live, more affordable being the big one. And I think even bigger than that, more sustainable and healthier environments, both on residential and commercial.
Yeah. So to give voice to the naysayer, you know, manufacturing, it's a controlled environment. They're focused on one product that, so you can create the flow and efficiencies there. Construction is a whole other beast and an animal to have a lot more complexities. Projects are very different every single time. How do you bring the manufacturing principles into the world of construction?
Yeah, and I think that's where technology is going to help, mm-hmm. right? And we're already starting to see end-to-end solutions that can do bespoke products, and projects. Is it there now? It's not. You know, there's end-to-end pieces that can help us do some of these things that you're talking about where, you know, it's always a one-off, you know, type of solution or product that's out there. But I think with automation, I think with the programming and the skills of the younger generation, bringing that gaming experience into what we're doing, mm-hmm. you're going to be able to see more changes and shifts in what those products look like. Now, not everybody's going to carry 10,000 SKUs of, you know, different toilets and light switches and, mm-hmm. and that. So we're always going to have that manual piece of what we have to do. But I think from a building perspective, from a framing perspective, you're going to start seeing a lot more of it.
Yeah, interesting. From a prefab modular perspective, are there certain geos that are doing it better that you would point to?
You know what? I think the panelized section of what's happening around the world is doing it really well. But it's easier to be more bespoke and do, you know, different projects in a panel, mm-hmm. whether it's an open or a closed panel system with MEPs. But I don't know if one's better than the other. I think they both serve their purposes, and I think they're both trying to up their game when it comes to how do they, you know, create more product at an affordable and efficient price. I mean, you look at like DPR, it comes to this show all the time.
Yeah.
You know, Ray Boff and their team, you know, they're doing everything from modulars and panels and bathroom pods, but now they're looking at how to integrate all these things together.
Right. Right.
All right. And I think that's what it's going to be. It's there's a whole lot of research going on right now, R&D, so to speak. And people are already doing everything everybody's doing here in the States and Europe and elsewhere. But they do it a little bit differently. And I think if we would talk, mm-hmm. it would be a pretty cool synergy between what could happen.
Yeah. Well, back to the culture element and getting people on the same page and creating that environment. I think it's important for the individual company, but it's also important across companies and throughout the whole industry. Because we're all on the same page, on the same team at the end of the day.
I was out in California and L.A. There's a company out there. Am I allowed to say company names in your podcast?
Sure.
I already did with DPR, I guess, right? SWS panel, mm-hmm. right? And they had the best idea that I ever heard. Mm-hmm. Everybody in there can have a $100 idea. You could have 500 $100 ideas every day if it's a change that makes sense.
Yeah.
To simplify the workflow, to reduce risk. And that's what he calls it. He calls it 100. Every employee has $100. You know, if you have a $100 idea, I give you a $100 bill.
Yeah.
And it became a competition on who can improve the process at their station each and every time. And now it's grown into this cultural competition at the end of the year, you know, and so they're having fun with it. So it doesn't have to be big things. It doesn't have to be, you know, big bonuses, you know, $1,000 or $2,000 or $100. It's more about being recognized mm-hmm. for what you do.
Yeah, for sure. I love a good competition. I'm always down for a competition. So
we're going to arm wrestle.
Sounds
after this,
good. Hurry.
Right?
Hurry. So what gets you excited for the kind of the future of construction?
I think what gets me excited is listening to, honestly, my daughter say, hey, I want to get into welding. Mm. I think it's an exciting time right now. I think our industry hit a real low when it came to getting the younger people back in. I think my excitement lies in the fact that we're seeing factories coming up all over the country mm-hmm. with different ways of thinking, different ways of building, and they're inspiring the younger generation to get back into this because we need the labor. Mm-hmm. We need skilled labor still. And if it takes the kids coming in with all that gaming experience to run these robots and code and do all the tech, I think that's probably, to me, the most exciting thing we're going to see in this industry.
Yeah. What do you think the biggest challenge is that's facing the construction industry?
I think us, the industry itself, and the marketing. And I think coming together, because we're so fragmented as an industry, nobody's really coming into the room and saying, all right, well, let's blow up this code book, right? And really say, hey, this is what makes sense for industrialized construction. Because we're still trying to fit a lot of, you know, square pegs and round holes based on the old system. Mm-hmm. The system and the codes and how it's written doesn't really work effectively or efficiently with the growth that we're seeing in the offsite space. Mm-hmm.
So what's the next step then for industrializing construction?
I think the next step is, you know, to just keep what we're doing, you know, happening, such as Advancing Prefab and these other events that are going, and having people take the lead to have bigger conversations. Mm. And that's already starting to begin. Mm. I was just last night with the CEO of the ICC, right? Mm. Industrialized Construction Code out of Washington, D.C. And he literally said, how do we get involved more? And I think that's what's got to happen. People have to get involved. And as the regular construction industry, you know, starts to hurt more and more without the labor, I think it's going to put a lot more pressure on them to start looking at alternative ways to build what we need to build.
Yeah, absolutely. So you have this amazing award here the table.
I know. I didn't even know I was
congratulations.
Dead yet.
That's very exciting.
Yeah, the Industrialized Construction Champion of 2024. You know what that means? It means I run my mouth too much.
I do. In a great way. It's awesome. I love it.
Yeah. No.
Congratulations.
Tell you what, it's you're doing this podcast, right? And it's the journey. And I will tell you, you know, what I learned about this, it's having the right people that listen.
Yeah.
You know, we just were invited to Laos and, you know, did some stuff in South Korea and different parts of the world, going to Senegal now. And working with people that are really looking at construction and manufacturing from a high-level sustainability point. Mm-hmm. Everything from the O2O, they call it ocean to orbit, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, you just don't know what you're going to get into unless you keep having conversations. But that's been the most powerful thing about our live show that we do. And I'm sure you see it as well on what you do is just there's so much knowledge to be shared. Mm-hmm. And when you keep talking about it and keep talking about it and keep talking, people are tired of listening to you talk about it. Good things start happening, right?
Yeah. I think there's a real hunger now, too, for people to share their input and right. and to listen. It feels like something has grown over the last couple right. of years that people are really open to these conversations and hungry for them as well, too.
If, you know, if you look at, like, take the residential industry, for instance. Look at, like, Matt Reisinger, mm-hmm. right? He's the Build Show or whatever, mm-hmm. and he has millions of followers, Kyle Stumpenhorst, another one. Imagine if our industry had people in the factories. Right. Think you point one person to be your influence in her factory and you just pull out the camera and you talk about what you're doing. You talk about how you screwed up too. Right. Mm-hmm. And you have all these things happening. People watch that.
Yeah.
And instead of being scared to put it out there, this is where you start getting the buy-in from the people that just want to understand what it is. Because then they go, oh, man, I didn't know that. That's nicer than what they did for me, you know, up the road or however it is. And I think it could be a very powerful thing.
Yeah, more than agree. I think in today's day and age, everybody at the company is a brand ambassador. And we have to embrace that and right. then put ourselves out there. We don't have to be perfect to That's be right. a brand ambassador. In fact, nobody wants to see the perfect right. person. You want to see the, oh, this didn't go the exact way I thought it was going to be. Right. But here's what I learned from it.
And that's what it is. And talk to everybody. Right. That's, you know, our big mantra is no matter who we work with, you know, nobody tells us who we can talk to or have on our show. Mm-hmm. That's a bit, we're agnostic and we do it in a journalistic approach, right? Mm-hmm. Where we just tell people stories similar to what you do mm-hmm. and let everybody out in the audience, you know, decide, you know, is it good? Is it bad? Do I like it? You know, is it smoke and mirrors, you know, all the different things. But you're right. There's the power of these little phones right now and cameras that can change an industry or change even a business if they just put it out there, stay consistent, and have fun, and don't overproduce it.
Yeah.
Because everybody's tired of the overproduce. That's why the Kardashians are so good, right? They love the drama. Get into it. Have a little fun.
Oh, man.
Just don't show any bad OSHA violations. I get enough of the Kardashians
from my wife, yeah.
Yeah.
Anything surprise you in your conversations over the last year or so? Anything kind of new of like, oh, that's different?
Well, I mean, for me, what's been different is sitting, you know, at the table with prime ministers of countries and secretaries mm-hmm. of housing of countries. So I wasn't expecting that. But the fact that even these underdeveloping countries are now saying, how do we better ourselves? And they don't want to do it in an underdeveloped way anymore. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we've been fortunate enough to have some of these conversations where we get to sit at the table with them and kind of just share all of our knowledge and put people together. So mm-hmm. they say, hey, I always say, hey, talk to this person or talk to that person. They're the ones that can really help you dive into it. And to me, that says that this industry is moving forward in the right direction. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the most, you know, inspiring thing for me. But it was also the scariest thing for me.
Yeah.
I'll give you a quick little story. You know, I'm doing the Dave Cooper Live stuff. You know, let's do selfies. Let's talk. And then Secret Service guy comes and goes, you can't post that. I'm like, what do you mean I can't post it? He goes, well, you're hanging out with the leaders of some of these countries. He goes, you're going to open yourself up to a global, you know, jar of kick, yeah. you know. And I'm going, ah. And so, you know, Jennifer's at home because I'm sending her pictures. And then I'm like, don't post anything, you know, because it puts you on a global scale yeah. in that sense.
For so, sure.
But the fact that they're watching what we do, mm-hmm. that's cool.
Yeah, absolutely. So as we start to wrap up, a couple rapid-fire questions yeah. for you. What does the phrase modeling the future, what does that look like to you?
That's digital twins. Let's build it once on the screen and then get it right on the job site mm-hmm. safely.
Nice. What does innovation mean to you?
Innovation is finding what's already out there and plugging and playing into our businesses already. Like I said, gaming world, think about it. Now all of a sudden we have digital twins and virtual reality. It's been around forever. It's nothing new.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Well, how do people connect with you or and follow what you're doing?
Yeah. You know, the easiest way is LinkedIn or YouTube. Just type in Dave Cooper Live and you'll see my personal page and my YouTube channel.
Awesome. Final question for you. If I could give you all construction power, you could snap your fingers and innovate one thing, what would you pick to innovate?
People would actually come to the table and have a good conversation on how we can make codes work for industrialized construction.
Nice. Well done. Thanks so much, Dave.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And now it's time for my Todd Takes from this episode. First take, integrating gaming technology into construction not only modernizes the sector, but also makes it more appealing to younger generations. This approach leverages the familiarity and engagement of gaming to introduce innovative practices and tools in construction. Second take, encouraging individuals to share their perspectives and experiences can significantly drive progress within the construction industry. Active participation helps to identify areas for improvement and fosters a culture of continuous innovation. And final take, establishing a community of like-minded innovators is crucial for collective advancement in construction. This network facilitates the exchange of ideas, encourages collaboration, and accelerates the development of new solutions and technologies. Bridging the Gap is hosted, directed, and produced by Todd Wyatt. Edited and produced by Eric Daniel. Bridging the Gap is an Applied Software Great Tech Group production. Copyright Applied Software Great Tech Group 2024.